Usually, when you realize you're listening to an ad, the mental walls go up instantly. It's like a reflex to protect your time, you know?
Right. Yeah, we're hardwired to just tune out a pitch the second we recognize it.
But what if a brand dropped an ad so packed with multi-trillion dollar financial intelligence that you willingly gave it 20 minutes of your undivided attention?
It sounds impossible, but it actually happened.
It really did. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a really fascinating stack of sources today. We've got case studies from the World Media Group, academic guidelines on content marketing from UW-Madison, and actual transcripts from this unique audio project called Crafting Capital.
Yeah, so our mission today is to unpack how financial giants UBS and the Wall Street Journal teamed up to create this massive B2B marketing hit.
Right.
But more importantly, we want to explore the actual financial insights that made their incredibly busy target audience listen so closely.
So, looking at the mechanics of this, UW-Madison has these clear guidelines on what they call high-level content marketing.
Which is basically content designed by brands to provide genuine value while only, very subtly promoting their services.
Exactly. And reading through the strategy for Crafting Capital, it feels less like a traditional ad and more like an open-source research desk. Like a Trojan horse, but instead of soldiers, it's packed with C-suite insights.
That's the perfect analogy. They aren't hiding a pitch. They're proving their competence by doing the client's homework for them. It establishes authority rather than just, asking for business.
Well, I have to push back a bit here, though. I mean, even if it's smart, it's still ultimately a vehicle for UBS's wealth management and investment banking, right?
Right, definitely.
So, time-starved executives don't exactly sit around listening to corporate brochures. Why did so many people actually finish these episodes?
Because they engineered the format strictly for that demographic. They targeted those executives with tight 20-minute conversations that were entirely stripped of industry jargon.
Wait, no jargon at all?
Completely jargon-free. And the World Media Group case study shows this strategy really worked. The campaign beat its completion target by over 2.5 times.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, securing over 11,300 completions against a KPI of just 4,300. It even earned a season two renewal.
Okay, but executives don't stick around for 20 minutes just because you removed the jargon. They stayed because UBS was addressing a massive, kind of terrifying elephant in the room.
The explosive growth of private markets.
Precisely. Right now, these markets are sitting on over $2.5 trillion in what the industry calls dry powder.
2.5 trillion. That is just a staggering amount of uninvested capital.
Right. And because traditional bank lending tightened up so much recently, these private alternative asset management firms have hoarded this capital, and now they are desperately looking for massive, complex places to deploy it.
And that creates a really weird dynamic between traditional investment banks like UBS and alternative asset managers like Apollo.
Yeah, it really does. There's this dinner party story in the transcripts that perfectly captures how strange this industry pivot has gotten.
Oh, yeah, I love this story.
It's so good. So UBS's Simona Mailer is hosting a dinner for clients, and in walks Robert Seminara from Apollo.
And the irony here is that UBS had just been competing with Apollo to provide financing for a massive acquisition deal.
Exactly. So Simona jokingly calls him out as a competitor in front of everyone. But Robert just laughs and corrects her. He says, "We're not a competitor, we're a client."
It's such a great moment because it highlights a massive structural shift.
Mm.
Private equity is no longer staying in its lane, and banks aren't staying in theirs.
Right.
It's evolved into a highly functional, symbiotic relationship.
Well, wait, but if they are both ultimately trying to provide capital to the market, how is that symbiotic? I mean, they must be fighting over the same deals.
You'd think so, yeah. But they actually bring entirely different machinery to the table. Asset managers like Apollo have the long-term capital. They want to own the investments.
Okay, but investment banks like UBS own the wealth management networks.
Exactly. They have the relationships with the ultra-wealthy individuals and family offices that are needed to raise that capital in the first place.
Ah, I see. So Apollo uses UBS's massive network of wealthy clients to gather funds.
Spot on. And in return, Apollo builds exclusive, high-yield private market funds that UBS can then offer back to those exact same clients.
Okay, so the bank becomes the distribution pipe, and the asset manager becomes the product factory.
Exactly. They are feeding each other's growth.
Hmm.
By co-creating these investment vehicles, they're completely redefining who does what in global finance.
So, what does this all mean for you? I think it proves that modern content marketing doesn't have to be a chore to consume.
Definitely not. When a brand steps up and offers credible, high-level analysis of how the world is actually changing, it becomes indispensable listening.
It really sets a new benchmark for how institutions communicate with their audience. But, it also leaves us with a lingering question based on the market dynamics we just covered.
Yeah, really important one. As private capital continues to balloon and swallow up functions traditionally held by
Who
banks,
will ultimately hold the real power in the financial ecosystem?
is it the institutions that own the capital or the ones that own the client relationships?
Something for you to definitely mull over.